Listening to the Speechy Side Up podcast, episode number 26. Today we are joined by Deborah Brooks. In this episode, we discuss the pros and cons of podcasting, how she incorporates her passion for art and comedy into therapy, and how she manages to go bag-free to all of her sessions.
You're listening to the Speechy Side Up podcast with Kim and Vanita. Just two SLPs in a pod who love their field and supporting fellow SLP bosses. This podcast will cover the flip side of traditional speech and language therapy so you get inspired and learn from experts in the field. Here are your hosts. When they are not working together on their social book series, Lou Knows What to Do, Vanita can be found traveling or drinking matcha lattes. Kim can be found running marathons or fueling her coffee addiction to function as a mom to a preschooler and an infant. Together, they are serving up some informative and fun topics in Speechy Side Up.
Hey, everybody. Kim and Vanita here. Welcome to the Speechy Side Up podcast. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. This podcast is produced every week for your enjoyment. You can also follow us on Instagram at Speechy Side Up. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show.
Today, we have a fellow SLP, product creator, and awesome podcast host, Deborah Brooks. Thank you so much for joining us today. So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what your journey has been, and what you do today?
Okay, thanks for having me. My name's Deborah Brooks. I'm a speech-language pathologist. So I have 6 years experience so far. I went to school at St. John's in Queens for both undergrad and grad school, and I got my master's in 2012 and my C's in 2013. When I first started working, I worked at a private practice in Brooklyn. That's where I did my fellowship. And then I moved to an agency that still had placement with Throughout Brooklyn, but they're located in Manhattan. So during that time, I've worked in a private practice, in homes, in schools of all different types of schools, because Brooklyn is like a different world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone knows this, but
I know very well.
Yeah. It's like there's Rainbow School, there's like school that's just completely bilingual, or like just a bunch of it's just project based, or it's like Montessori, and it could be, there's so many different types of schools. And I've pretty much been in all of the models except for the public schools. I haven't worked in those, but I have observed actually one public school I did work in. So, while I've been doing that, I've been doing a tremendous amount of traveling to each location that I was working in. And so that's how I ended up creating therapy materials, I suppose, just because it was a tremendous amount of work to carry a lot of stuff with you.
That makes sense.
Definitely. And Brooklyn is definitely, since I am a former New Yorker, such a diverse area. I know completely what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, and I drive everywhere too. So even like, let's say I'm having a good day and there's not like traffic or a parade, then I parked somewhere when I got to the school, and who knows how far I have to walk to get there. So to have to carry things was just not something I was willing to do. I was just like, you know, of all the things, I was like, I understand you're going to be a bag lady. You're going to have a lot of paperwork. You're going to have this. I was like, I'm not doing the bag thing. So I just chose not to, and I haven't. I don't even carry a purse.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm liberated. My phone has this like wallet on the back, which is covered in crayon. I'm a responsible adult. And, yeah, so if I get mugged, they have my whole life, but so far, so good.
That's awesome.
You're like my role model with no bags.
I know. I wish I can get to that level.
I also don't have kids or, like, anybody who requires things. Like, even – I was never the person who, like, had an Advil or a tissue. Even if I had a bag, it probably had, like, crayons in it. So, like, what am I carrying this around? So I could just, I'm like a little kid with a bag who just wants to feel important. So I just got rid of it.
Well, it's a good thing we did What's in Your Bag today for our game.
Oh my God.
Totally. Oh, I have other bags.
Totally. No, we're totally teasing. Oh my gosh. So we love your coloring pages. They're so fun. You have so many different themes. There's really something for everybody, literally. Tell us about how you came to start creating these products.
So like I said, I just didn't want to carry a bunch of things with me. And I also I don't know what the going rate for people who start their clinical fellowship is, but I was not wealthy and I'm still not. So anyone who's listening to this thinking you're going to be a millionaire, you are wrong. So I basically just ended up, I always had crayons and paper at my disposal. And then maybe I'd bring an iPad with me for reinforcement or use whatever toys they had in the classroom. And I would read the IEP or see the kid and listen to them and see what they needed to work on. So if it was a speech sound production issue, I would draw that letter, which I know everyone in school tells you not to do. But I think that if you take a multilinguistic approach, like sound, letters, and meaning, and you do that all together, it makes it more concrete and tangible to that individual that you're explaining it to. So I'm like bow and boat and button. And they're like, oh, okay. It kind of teaches them to break it down from my perspective. So then I would just draw the B and then I would add, so we would just do buh, 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 buh. And then we would add the vowel. So ba, ba, be, bo, boo. And then I would put pictures below that of that sound in the initial position of words. And then I just found myself drawing the same pages over and over. And I was like, I should just make copies because, to be efficient. And then I started my Instagram around that same time and people would ask if they were for sale. And at that point I had random pages everywhere. So I was like, no, how, what do you want from me? How? And then somebody was like, well, why don't you just scan it? And then I was like, okay. So once I sat down and I got 25 pages, I scanned them and put them, I made a square space page, which I learned how to do because I have a nacho Instagram and I used to produce comedy shows with the nachos. So that's how I learned all that. And then I just translated it over to speech. And so, and then I just found more and more things that I could target, just as answering WH questions or following directions. And I became very obsessed with minimal pairs. And that was the other thing that I ended up drawing because I like to take a directive and a naturalistic approach to speech therapy. I do a lot of crafts and art in speech, so that's the naturalistic aspect of it. But I like to be very direct. I like to know that going into it, we said 50 sounds. And after that, we could just do whatever we want, which is I'm going to pick good stuff. But I know we said 50 minimal pairs of that target phoneme. So it just makes me not worried for the remainder of the 25 minutes I have.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It does. Thanks. It makes a lot of sense. And can we go back to where is it that I can find these nachos? Because I was trying to focus, but I was thinking, I need to see a nacho card.
I have an Instagram called Nacho Ordinary Gals. And my friend Gabby and I started it a couple of years ago. And I think we were 25, so maybe 5 years ago. A while ago. And it was just because we used to just meet up and have nachos. We'd take pictures and then feature the nachos on the Instagram. And then we decided to start producing a comedy show. And the incentive to come was to get free nachos. Because I love it. Getting people to comedy shows is very difficult. Nobody wants to go. Most people want to talk. They don't want to listen.
Right.
Yeah.
So funny. Did it work out?
Did they come for the nachos?
Yeah. So for 3 years, we produced a show at Brooklyn Brewery called the Brooklyn Brew Haha. Oh. And we first would get nacho sponsors to come and donate nachos. But then after a while, it was definitely expensive for them and we didn't have money to pay. So we just got a membership to Restaurant Depot and started making the nachos ourselves.
Cool. That's awesome. Really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, super fun.
I bet you would have a fun house party, wine, cheese, nachos, coloring.
All that stuff. My boyfriend is a comedian, but he also likes to cook. So we have an annual holiday party where we have homemade pasta, which is a big thing to undertake. It is not easy. Yeah. I felt like I was a waitress for 10 years, and that was the most work I ever did, was that one night that we had the pasta event. So it's coming up again, and I'm nervous. Like my Vietnam.
Oh my gosh.
It must be so fun to be around you and your boyfriend. If he's a comedian, you were a comedian.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Do you guys do a show together? I know he has a podcast, right?
Yeah, he has a podcast that's called The Sit Down Podcast, and it's about organized crime. I was on it talking about psychopaths and sociopaths, which was fun. I did a lot of research for that one. Not like I just know all about them. But yeah, so, and then we also have a comedy show every other Thursday in our neighborhood.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun life.
I don't know. It seems super fun. I have a 4-year-old and an 8-month-old, and I'm like, the most entertaining thing I've done is bring this giant dinosaur to work for a game.
Well, that's big news, that dinosaur. That would be like, I would have to have a newsletter if I had that guy in my office. Doing dino speech. You know, dinosaur names are great. They're multisyllabic. They have every phoneme. They're very interesting. So that's great.
If they put those on like a speech test, I probably would be getting speech therapy today because I can't say any of them.
Oh, me neither. Kids always correct me.
Yeah. Luckily, my kids are young enough that they don't know, so I can just like kind of flub it. Hopefully, they
Wait. Once they hit 7, they'll be like, it's a velociraptor. Or whatever. Is that even a dinosaur?
It is. No, it is.
Yeah. That was good. All right. So, you host the informative and entertaining SLP's Wine and Cheese podcast. What is your favorite thing about hosting podcasts, and what lessons have you learned from the process?
My favorite thing about having the podcast is, so for a while I had the speech Instagram, which I feel like got me a little bit well-known amongst SLPs. And I started it off with the coloring pages and also like videotaping myself doing therapy sessions. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of good feedback from people from it. And a lot of people reached out to me for questions, and I don't have time to answer all of those questions. That's a lot of work. And I just wanted to be able to like do the videos and be like, can't you just figure it out? What do you think we're working on? Like, so, I would answer, and then I'm like, oh, I'm tired of this. So I wanted to have some sort of platform where I was able to like speak about what I was doing, because I don't want to add any more writing to my workload. So that's probably my favorite thing, that I can like just freely speak about what I'm doing and I don't have to write a report about it. And what have I learned? That wine gets you drunk. And sometimes you like, you're just talking about stuff and it's on record. So if you want to get to know yourself, then you should just record yourself weekly drinking wine and you'll become a lot more self-aware. I feel bad for everyone who's been hanging out with me since I was 21.
I love it.
That's hilarious. So now, your SLP apparel, what gave you this idea?
I mean, I feel like I'm a productive procrastinator. And that's it. Like, I think the first shirts that I made were just the articulation, like the, what is it? I don't even know. Phonetics. The phonetic shirts. And I started making them, one, because I had the idea, and then two, it was like, oh, how can I have like something that a selfie of me would also indicate that I'm a speech pathologist? So I thought it would just be, and then I was going to, for a while, have a monthly or like bi-monthly comedy speech thing that was going to be called Therapy at a comedy club in Queens, which I only did one. But, and then I meant to do it again, but my grandmother got sick and then I canceled the following one and then I never started it up again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it kind of corresponded with that. And then other times it's just like, I'm always drawing and thinking of stuff. So I just make them and hope that maybe other people will like them.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just want to have stuff to wear.
Mm-hmm. They're so cute. And I feel like the style's like different, but like really, really cute than like most of the stuff you see. So it's like, I think you have like some apparel, like SLP apparel brands, but yours definitely stands out.
Thanks. I wanted it to be like work casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you can wear it and it doesn't look like cheesy or childish or like cartoony. Just, I wanted it to be adult, but then also like fun.
Yeah. So, no, definitely. That's, I think, why it's funny. Like, we've spoken about in a lot, the theme of like finding something you really enjoy and bringing it to work. And if you're like an entrepreneur or a creator, and I feel like we have so many creators on, and it's so interesting to see how people are creative in so many different facets, I guess, you know, like, because you have a podcast, you have products, you have apparel, like, and I feel like you're not the only person, us too, we have books, we have a podcast, like, I just feel like so many different people, like, once you're a creator, you just, like, can't stop at creating one specific type of thing. It's so cool to see that there's so many SLPs like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also feel like, do you feel like when you're starting something, because all my coloring books are generally 25 pages. And when I get to page maybe like 22 or 21, I'm like, oh, what else am I going to do for this? And then I get to like page 24 and I'm like, uh-oh, I'm almost done. What am I going to do every night when I get home?
Yeah. Get over the hump.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I feel that way about running too, because my favorite race is the New York City Marathon, but I think that happens too. Like around 21, you're like, oh God, is this still happening? And then like 25, you're like, all right, this is looking good.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe one that you're like only tired at 21. And two, I volunteered 1 year for the New York Marathon. When I lived in Bay Ridge, I was at like that pit stop at 65th Street. And I was just handing out water. And one, this woman thought she was like in charge of the whole marathon. She was not. She was just like the leader of her group, not mine. But she was all very bossy. And so we're just pouring water in Gatorade, you know, it's like rocket science type stuff. And we're passing it to the people that's holding our hands out to give it to anyone who runs by. And then once it starts to be like broken up in lots of stragglers, they start emptying the tables by just knocking them over. So then these poor people who just made it over the Verrazano dying are running through like what they could be drinking, but their feet are just like a whole stream of Gatorade and freezing cold water. Like, how rude is that?
You were totally those person.
No, I know. Actually, it's really funny to say that, because someone said like, what was like a big challenge in the race? And I was like, running over wet cups. Like, I that was a thing.
Yeah. And I feel like even at that point, like where I was on 65th Street, it must have been a bit of an incline going up the avenue, because the water was flowing like a very powerful stream. So I felt guilty. After a while, I was like, I'm not doing this. I don't have to follow your lead. I'm leaving. I volunteered. I will excuse myself now.
That's awesome.
I love it. So you are a very busy woman. What do you do for fun outside the speech room? Although you've given us a lot of ideas so far.
Well, I guess like to break it down, to go back. So like I am from Staten Island, but I'm not even really, because I never lived anywhere longer than 2 years before I was 12 years old. I lived in 4 different states, 10 different houses, and I went to 13 different schools before I was 12. Wow. So I ended up like in that time, I feel like I kind of struggled with attending to anything, because I don't know, from my own perspective, looking back in my own memories, I just don't remember caring about anything or attending to anything that wasn't like art or music. That was all I was into. So when I was going to college, I didn't even like pick speech right away. I was just like, oh, college is next. So then I was just going, and I was a PR major, and I started working at an advertising agency, and I realized, oh, I'm very bad at this. I was so bad. I was very bad at everything in the office. So then I just left there one day, and I started waitressing in a comedy club. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to be an English major and a double major with photography, and maybe I'll be like a photojournalist. Then I started working there for so long, and there were all these people who had college degrees and like amounted to nothing. And I was like, oh, well, I need a new plan because I can't be a waitress for the rest of my life. I just couldn't do that. So then I changed to speech. So then while I was in college studying speech pathology, I was also kind of admiring comedians and how they utilize language to elicit an involuntary response in a listener. Mm-hmm. Just with language alone, there's no CGI, there's no special effects, there's no music hardly, maybe like to introduce you to come on. So then I started getting super interested in like how speech and comedy are related, because the recognition of humor, it involves so many cognitive aspects, such as like recognition of incongruity in a situation, identification of similar sound sequences, comprehension of metaphors, simile, sarcasm, all the nuances of language. And then also like expressively, you have to like know what you're going to say it in an organized manner and a timely manner and concise with all the appropriate details. So basically like that became something that was so interesting to me. And I just kind of like pulled that for both my work and then my entertainment. So like when I'm not doing speech, I'm most likely at a comedy show. And I happen to, since I've worked there for 10 years, and now it's been several years since then, I became friends with people who are rather successful. So I end up going to like cool stuff like Saturday Night Live. I'll go there a lot.
That's awesome.
Or just like the Knitting Factory or Caroline's or the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. So I'll be around there. If we're in New York, so it's like there's always some event or party. So I will say though, even though I do a lot of fun things, I don't have to do anything. And I'm not somebody who's like, it's Friday, what are we doing? I'll be like, oh, blanket, pajamas. But unless there's something happening,
yeah,
I'll go do that. But I'm not somebody who like has to do something or has to make plans. If somebody comes to me, I'll either say yes because it's so fun, or they're going to stop being my friend because I said no so many times.
That's no, great. It's so true. I feel like I was like that too in New York, because you also have, you know, the weather that we don't have here. So there's always something going on and there's always something to do. But then also You're like, oh, but it's snowing and I want to just stay in, or like, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I also, from what you were saying, I feel like so many people always say to me like, oh, I don't know how you have time to do everything you do. But I feel like if I had kids, I'd probably just have all this attention just to them instead. I just have all this like kid-free time. Yeah. But once I have them, I'll stop doing, yeah, I think. I don't know.
It's just a lot harder to squeeze it in, I'll say.
Yeah.
That. Now I go to New York and I have to like really itemize exactly what I want to do, because I usually bring my kids most places. So most really cool, trendy places like, or like, please get out with your small children.
Where did you take your kids?
Oh my God. So I went to, on my trip in the summer, because I go and stay with family, I always take them to the city so they can see things. But I really wanted to go to the Rose Mansion.
Oh,
that's
a great picture opportunity.
Oh my God, I love it. It was so fun. But I left my son behind, obviously, but I didn't have anyone to watch my daughter. So I was, and I saw that they, you could bring a baby if you were wearing them. So I strapped that kid on and I was like, we're going for it. I don't care what happens here. So people were definitely looking like, are you for real? Did you just bring a baby to the Rose Mansion? Because I'm pretty sure even though it's like allowed, it's not a thing that happens very often.
Those people were probably tourists. They don't know what it's like here. You have to carry your baby places if you want to be anywhere.
Exactly.
I feel like everyone's baby wearing, no matter where you go. It's harder when they're like bigger and they don't sleep as much.
It's true.
But yeah, I don't think that's so true that the baby went to the rosé. She probably liked it. Balloons everywhere and bubbles.
Yeah, no, she was all about it. I cried and like hauled her onto that chandelier that you could swing on, and she was like, this is great. This is better than the park.
I haven't been, but I see it on Instagram.
So fun. So fun. Yeah. I'm hoping it comes down to Miami so some of my friends can go.
All right. My dog is like clawing at the door.
Can you bring him in? He's so cute.
This one small one. The other one. Come here.
He's like the cutest thing.
This one is Oliver.
Oh, I haven't seen that one, but he's so cute too.
But the other one, Frankie. He must not be here.
Maybe is it a Shar-Pei? The other one?
The other one's a Shar-Pei pug.
Oh, my God. So cute.
Yeah, he's a mix between the two. He's very cute and good. I am happy with him. He was expensive, though. Mike likes to remind me.
They are very expensive dogs, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's beautiful.
Yeah. He is. I tell him every day.
So let's play our game.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. So we have a little themed game for you. We just usually do getting to know you questions, but for you, we have wine and cheese related.
Oh boy.
So you can just pick, we have questions that go, you can pick maybe, should we say three kinds of wine, three kinds of cheese, and we'll go through the questions.
Sure.
All right. So our wine choices are Merlot, Pinot Grigio, Rosé, Cabernet, or Moscato. Can you pick two or three of those?
Merlot. Did you say Pinot Noir or just Pinot Grigio?
Oh, Pinot Grigio.
Okay, so Merlot, Pinot Grigio, and did you say Chardonnay? I got distracted by my dog when you were going through that list.
No, I didn't put Chardonnay. How did I forget that one? I put Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay, so Cabernet, that's good.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and should we do cheeses too? Cheeses, my choices are cheddar, brie, gouda, feta, and mozzarella.
Brie, feta, mozzarella.
Okay.
Perfect.
Great.
I'll let you go first.
Sure. So for Merlot, tell us something you learned this week.
For Merlot, something I learned about Merlot this week.
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be about Merlot. That was just like our like question that went with Merlot. Anything you learned this week.
Anything that I learned this week. Okay. I learned that birds communicate by making sounds and also by fluffing their feathers, because that's what the second grade shared text was about.
Oh, so interesting. I must have skipped over that in school.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't feel like I learned anything meaningful this week, other than that if my child drinks too much fruit punch, he's kind of really difficult. But that's it.
Very good information.
Keep taking hope. All right, number two, Pinot Grigio. What's your favorite snack?
Pickles. Is that a snack or pretzels? Both of those. Pickles and pretzels.
Yeah. Just together too?
Yeah. Yeah, they're separate. No, I feel like those are my go-to grocery items in terms of snacks. And yeah, I'll eat them together.
That's whole pickle or like sliced pickles?
Oh, I like whole pickles and I like the chip pickles.
Yes.
I don't like the wedge pickles because I feel like they get soggy.
Oh, they do. You're right. If they like cut them too thin.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I like a good crunch to the pickle. And I only like dill and vinegary ones, those bread and butter ones. They should go in the trash. I don't know whose idea that was.
What about spicy ones?
I like them, but there's this one. I don't know if it's the Brooklyn pickles. There's one of those fancy pickles that are half spicy, and they're just entirely too spicy. I don't know who that's for. That person is completely like hyposensitive in their mouth. They have some like sensory deficits. I don't know who it's for.
Okay. All right. And the last one, a bucket list item.
I want to publish a children's book. I want to write and illustrate publish a children's book.
Very cool. You definitely have the drawing skills to do that.
Yeah.
We did not.
And I think, no.
I did practice a lot, though. Like, my best friend from high school was like, when did you start drawing? And like, she like said that to me, like it was appalling that I draw. But I just, over time, just kept doing it over and it got better and better. But I was never like somebody who, I always was in a photo and painting and stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So for Brie Cheese, where's your favorite place to shop?
There's this boutique that I like on Bedford Ave called like Pima. And they have really cool clothes. Every time I'm going somewhere, I always go there to pick something. And I got this like golden velvet dress that I wore last Christmas. And I got like this bodysuit that I wore. It was like the perfect plain outfit. So that is my favorite place to shop. But if, you know, Amazon would be number two.
Yeah.
So it's like
Bedford is like a trendy. My grandma lives around the corner from Bedford on Driggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a super trendy, cute little area.
That's prime real estate.
Yeah, for real.
She's been there. Has she been there a long time?
Yeah. Like,
are you Italians?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they lived there, oh my gosh, so many years. My grandfather used to own a gas station too down there, and then he sold it. But now there's like all condos and everything. So
it's so crazy. I'm like, who are these rich people?
They're very like hipster people that live in that area too. So
yeah, but like I live in Brooklyn. I live in a storefront apartment, just a regular walk up, and I'm like sandwiched between two luxury buildings.
Yeah.
And I'm coughing every time I see a bill come in my, I don't know how, I don't know what these people are doing. And they're paying way more than me. They have a roof.
Oh my gosh. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. Some of the prices that she tells me about different luxury.
Yeah. Like 3,000 for one bedroom.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh. tell us a pet peeve.
A pet peeve. I don't like when people misuse pronouns. So when they're like, we aren't good at that. And I'm like, you aren't good at that. Fine at that. Or like, we need to do this. And I'm like, oh, you need to do this. Not me.
Oh my gosh.
That. So when you see pronouns on the IEP, you're like,
Well, what actually though, when I do see pronouns on an IEP, I'm like, this is culturally inappropriate because who is to say that you understand the gender identity of the individual in that story? Maybe they are they and not he or she. So that will no longer be something that we have to target. Plus, I feel like everyone always overgeneralizes he, mostly because she is far more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And like just so you get like control that airflow, so it's like everyone's a he. It's not like kids don't really comprehend pronouns. I think that they're just like you or you, because kids are not judgmental like all less rigid old adults who are like everyone should be in a box and you have to be a he and you have to be a she. So kids are like you, them, this guy. Like, yeah,
it's like, so true.
Just answer me.
Yeah. So actually, this giant this giant dinosaur that Luke got for his birthday, I said, you know, like, what is, and I was doing it, and I was like, what is his name? Or like, is it a boy or a girl? What are we calling the dinosaur? And he said, like, the dinosaur doesn't want to be known as a boy or a girl.
Oh, look at
that. So now we call. Like, I'm like, look at this gender fluid dinosaur that we have to call they. And like,
yeah, he's super so progressive.
Yeah. For real.
Go Luke.
Oh, my gosh.
I was seeing this kid in Brooklyn Heights, and he he seemed like he had such deficits in working memory. Just in terms of like his expressive output or any type of like retelling a story or recalling details, very difficult. But he was very good at songs and chants because, you know, we attend to music in the absence of attention. We, like, process it still. And I guess it just made it easier for him to recall. So he would sing me all the songs that he learned in school that day or sang in school that day. And one day it was like, stereotype, stereotype. It's just not right. It's just not right. Who can wear dresses? We can wear dresses. Who can wear skirts? We can wear skirts. Who can wear nail polish? We can wear nail polish. And I was just dying. Like, I'm laughing. I thought it was the best song I ever heard.
And how did you remember that? And that's so funny. That's really
Yeah, cool. He remembered that. Mm-hmm. He wants to feel like he can express himself with nail polish.
No, I think there's definitely something, like, I like all the way everything is becoming more progressive, and I still see things every once in a while that just, like, really irritate me. Different things, even, like, my son's favorite puppy on the Paw Patrol is Sky, and they, like, only make girl things for Sky. So, mm-hmm. like, I was at Target, and I went to go get him a Sky shirt for his birthday, and it said, like, puppy girl power or something, but, like, in the boys section, there was no Sky on the shirt. Like, I was like, oh, right. Like, how come the girl puppy has to be just for the girls? I don't know.
Right, yeah. That, like, and I'm not extreme about it either. Like, I'm like, girls, I mean, like, I think both boys and girls can like the same things and the same colors. But one time I did have this one teacher say something to me that was, like, rather negative, because I brought a Barbie to play with. And, I mean, like, I liked Barbies when I was little, and I feel like I was a very neutral type kid, but I still liked them. And I just had it that day, and it was, like, a part of something. And the teacher was like, you know, it's really inappropriate for you to have, like, a Barbie to be playing with these girls. Like, maybe they like soldiers, too. And I'm like, well, had I had a soldier, I would have used the soldier. But today we have a Barbie. Like, yesterday we had markers. Like, like, don't get on your soapbox on me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's true. People can definitely be. Someone said something negative to me because I, like, had a... I did one of those, like, pop the balloon when we were having Elena to see, like, what gender the baby was having. And I feel like gender reveals were really trendy, and I was just too lazy to do it because it was a second kid. So I was like, let's just pull out this balloon out of this bag and see what happens. I can't plan something fantastic, but now people are like, no, you shouldn't have a gender reveal. You should, like, let the child decide. Or I don't know. Sometimes I think it goes a little too far, and I'm like, I'm not really sure that she can decide, or that I can wait to tell her. Like, what do I tell her before that happens? I don't know.
So. Yeah, that's a bit extreme. But have you ever seen gender reveal fail videos?
Oh, I love them.
There's nothing worse than, like,
you're going to have to send this to me.
Oh my God. No, they're like, so, I mean, some of them are really, like, so terrible. Like, you know, like a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of sports themed ones now. Right. So, like, you know, it's like, throw this baseball and, like, it'll explode in a cloud of, like, pink and blue or whatever. But then, like, I've seen people miss, or, like, before they throw, they drop it, and it's just, like, very anticlimactic and there's, like, powder by their feet.
Yeah.
Or someone throws it and, like, beams the pregnant lady in the face. Yeah. And it's like, God, really,
that's not good.
I can go wrong. It's not okay.
I saw one that was, like, some bridezilla. She, like, opened the box and she was, like, so ready. So, like, imagine a bridezilla about to have a baby. Like, she was like, this was her next moment. And then, like, the box opens and it's just every color balloon. And she's just like, what? Like, she was so mad.
You know, that Party City manager really got a hell of a phone call later on.
That guy's done.
Oh, man. This has been super fun.
I know.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks
We're
for coming
so
on.
We're so happy you came on. You're hilarious. Mm-hmm. And this was better than we could even expected. Yeah. Absolutely. So, if people want to, I'm sure everyone already knows you, but if anybody wants to find you, where can they find you?
My Instagram is at Deborah, like Deborah, like D-E-B-O-R-A-H, Brooks, C-C-C-S-L-P on Instagram. And then I have another Instagram that's Color in Speech, and I try to make that just my products. And then I have my podcast, which is SLP's Wine and Cheese on iTunes, which is a very entertaining, I want to market it as entertaining podcast. It's like number three can be informative, because I just don't know after a while how much I'm saying is correct.
That's awesome.
Well, I think if anything, this is any indication, it's very entertaining.
Yes.
Oh, it's entertaining. That is, I don't know if it's actual.
Oh, man. Awesome. Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. Thanks again.
Of course. Thanks.